Is Harry Harrison in the hole?
Ladies and gentlemen, I have prepared a very short talk tonight. Before I begin, I want to tell you that there have been rumors that this will be a humorous talk. They're wrong. The committee told me to be serious. The committee. So I'll be very serious. But first, before I... Before I go to the talk, I have a few personal messages to deliver. To the Americans, welcome. You are now in England, which is part of Wales or Scotland, something like that. And the people here are very sweet, have strange folk customs, particularly people who have been in Birmingham. They're nice people, but you say hot dog, you know. Nothing happens. You say baked potatoes and nothing happens. You say meat pie. Nothing happens either. But I'm not going to mention meat pies tonight. I promise the committee. And not one word will be said. I personally don't like meat pies. It's kind of a little thing you do. So don't mention meat pies. I won't mention meat pies at all. I won't throw meat pies. That was your guest of honor. Now that we've I thought it was in the time. Science fiction. I am alone at the island. Science fiction. The salvation of the modern novel. Observing. Now they have a man back here, a newbie in time, and after that, meat pie. Right, take it back. That's all you're waiting for. I believe that. Get the camera, I'll do it again. Camera, on camera. Shh, shh, shh. Ready? On the count of three. Brian, are you a hungry boy? Salvation of a modern man. Come back for you. Now, Brian, give me 1 second. I would like to change the whole tenor of this meeting. It's obviously going all to hell. Say something. Well, thank you very much. Would you say something serious like come back and start over again? Will you please? Anything.
Great, it costs 18 shillings.
Which is what I was talking about. Now, yes, would you mind? Not behind my back, old man. So be part of that. Right. Now, we've all read Sam Moskowitz. Meat pie. It's true, the meat pie better than Moskowitz anyway. And we've all read, Brady Champ. These people are aggrandizers who want to suck into science fiction the entire world in their attitude. They feel that we are a great amoeba. We get everything. Some boy way back in 1490 had the moon in the story. He's running a rocket ship story, obviously. This is all...
What is that?
All wrong. What will the observer make of this now, huh? No! Now face it, the modern novel's in trouble. I didn't say this, it's not my idea. Jack, don't make him cry. I'm not being serious. The modern novel. Is Jim Blish here? He's not here. Does anyone know the name of this little magazine this fellow edits?
Tom and Harry.
Right. Now, this is quite a heavy magazine. See, so I dropped the fact I didn't forget the name myself. Commentary, of course I knew it. Commentary is a little magazine. Like I said, Horizon, but a little bit. And it purports to be the avant-garde of critical writing in the United States, which is better or worse than the avant-garde of critical writing in Britain, depending on where you stand, it's better than this fellow put into print a book, I think it's something like 35 shillings, or some price like that. And the main point, he took about 800 pages to make phrase in one sentence. He thinks the modern novel is dead. All novelists should belt up, stop writing novels, and go off and write articles for the magazine. That's what I said when I read it. It's a simply ludicrous idea. But he's right, because the novels that they're writing, that they're reading, people should be writing articles. The modern novel is a continuation of the old novel.
I should have done the last one.
Yeah. There's a great long lineage, and you can contain anything in a novel. Novel is an art form. It's so many thousand words printed on paper. People are saying in the critical fields that there's nothing more to be said in the novel, and they are right as it stands. Limitations they've imposed, you cannot say anymore. You get a mainstream writer like Nellie Shute. He's very concerned with the atom bomb. He wrote On the Beach, which is a pure science fiction novel, whether he knew it or not. Why did he write that book in that way? Because only in science fiction could he express the ideas he wanted to express. George Orwell, 1984, the same thing. But mind you, the critics, the same Norman Powers and the rest, keep saying that this is not science fiction. The critical standard is it's written by someone they know, it's not science fiction. We're excluded out. Now, happily, I can say they're wrong. They've given up. They've given up because they've driven themselves into a corner. That's the only thing left. All the lovely history of the novel has been forgotten. All of Zola, Celine, the Rizzi novel, Dickens, they've forgotten that there's more scope to a novel than Light and Love and Dead Sitter, the full L-shaped room thing. The drama is also in this way, we'll forget about that. They have driven themselves into a corner, and now, great, intelligent, they say, we're in a corner. And I'm giving the message, which they're not going to hear, because in fact, I mentioned this a few weeks ago to a science fiction writer, and he said, well, why bother about them? And it's true, from my point of view, why bother about them? They can't affect us. But we are writing novels. I'm not talking about short stories now or criticism or anything else. I'm talking about novels. A good essay book is a novel. A good novel is something you read and enjoy. And these people have stopped writing enjoyable novels. And they don't know it. They do know it. They say it's dead. And they have very complicated reasons. They have never yet stopped to think that they have eliminated the real world. The novel grew up as a way of explaining life, of getting into people's guts, to see what's happy, love. All the things are very important. And these were important. There was a time when one man could change the world. When Nelson got out there, put the thing to the wrong eye, and I was like, what shit, this sort of thing. No more. Little old buttons work now. Living in an age of science. And in all truth, these people know it. They try to ignore it. You get people inside science fiction that are ignoring it. You get Bradbury, who's afraid of science, and reacts away from it. Lovely one. I'm not talking about the quality of the writing now. I'm talking about the content, the idea behind it. Now, in our own little microcosm, we have people who don't understand what the world is. How can we expect them out there to? And they don't. They don't understand a thing. What they don't know is that it's a scientific world, meaning that what happens in our lives, it relates to the impact of science upon our lives. And one of the better descriptions of science fiction is stories of the impact of science upon people. Now, I'll give this message to you. And you'll hear it, and you won't believe me. But you imagine how they'll believe it. They'll never hear it. But as long as we have serious writers working the field, and we do have now, I had this argument earlier today with another science fiction writer who didn't believe me. He said, well, science fiction is a form of entertainment. Well, of course it is. Stevenson wrote his book, The Serialist for Boys and Newspapers. Entertainment. Old Dickens wrote against the clock all the time. They were entertainers, nothing more than entertainment. that also contains art. And the modern novel is dead, I believe, as long as it does not contain science fiction. The hopeful thing is that readers have admitted that science fiction is a modern novel. We sell more science fiction at this point, happily to say, than almost any other single form of fiction. There are individual books, or popular books, in the general categories. Western, mystery, love, romance, nurse, doctor. Category fiction. Science fiction goes along very nicely by itself. And I only mention this, not that you care, because you're reading it. I'm trying to talk to the writers here, saying that, you know, don't be afraid, boys. We're right, and they're wrong. Thank you. And my God. Helen, 15 minutes right in the head. I mean, committee, 15 minutes right in the head. Now, I see you're all in agreement with me. Or are there any questions?
There is some disagreement.
That sounds like Judith Merrow, right. Voice of female fan science fiction. Julie, why do my books get badly into the last one? What's your question?
Well, the problem is, why, since we tend to be so hip, and here I agree with you completely, since we are the only ones who understand the modern world, we are the only ones who are aware of what's going on in our civilization, how come we don't bother to write good?
Got my name with him? Well, you're correct. You're absolutely correct. That's why I'm up here. I'm trying to tell you this.
Let's make this a little stronger, please, Aaron.
Right.
You're putting down Norman Porteret and his crowd, and I am with you every inch of the way.
Right.
But these boys, while they are not bothering to notice the world around them, and I agree with you here, while they do not know what is going on in the world around them, and I agree with you here, are concentrating on the use of the English language.
Right.
Were we to spend a small part of our time devoting ourselves to the means of communication,
right,
as well as to something that we say, we might well consider ourselves the true avant-garde of modern literature. As it is, we are perhaps the true avant-garde of modern thinking. That's where it stops.
In my life, I agree with Julie completely. She's correct. And I didn't tell her to say this. But what she just described is a little project which I, Brian Hollis, who sits on my left, Tom Gordon, who throws meat pies on my right, are involved in. A small magazine, it costs a fortune, money and sweat, called SF Horizons. You may like it. Make dislike and you can't ignore it. You're trying to do just that. Bring in some critical standards. You cannot improve out of clear sky. You must clear away the deadwood. You must point to a story and say, look, it's all wrong.
And to your question about my review of your book.
No. We'll take it up later. The
reason why you didn't know it. Yes, so I agree, you have freedom to be wrong, too. We need standards. We need better writing. We need a paper that science fiction is the most difficult form of fiction to write. And I'm not kidding. It requires about 20 years of reading it to know what's been written before. You can do that. Do it over again. And luckily, for writers who write this kind of fiction, who read it, you know, if you want to do it, 45 times. But you must first master what's been written. You must then carry a new idea, which is rather hard to do. You must then write it very well. Whereas the mainstream novels have all made for them. They all have to master the technique of writing. The word is there. They're working with it. We start with that as one of three important things. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's done easily. I'm only saying the spotlight is being put on this problem. I couldn't agree more. John?
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
When you're in the position of an editor, which would you do? Look for this beautiful writing and no ideas, or a story that maybe gets written to
you? You should do as you have been doing.
from about a year ago, where the new writer said, what's writing? I need stories, and diagrams, pay money to people. He's not getting them. I mean, it's your fault, not his or mine. He wants to buy them. Write them, not you, anybody else.
Well, you
know
about standards, the problem is, isn't it, that your standards as a writer are much higher
than the standards of the people who are going to buy all this stuff, your friends. I mean, apart from us out here, if you depended upon us to buy your books, you wouldn't earn much of a living. And yet there's a great mass of people who just want something to read and nothing more, and their standards aren't very high because they've never had the standards shown to them. Now you have to get around the difficulty of selling, and yet writing good stuff.
Well, there's no dichotomy. There are two sides of the same coin. The same plot, written by the same writer, written badly or differently, written better is a better story. Fine writing, we shouldn't consider it as fine writing as something out of school. We didn't have it beat down our throats. They gave us Thomas Hardy, age of 12. Isn't that great? No! Age of 12, who wants to read Thomas Hardy? Age of 22, you better read Thomas Hardy. Age of 30, you better go back and read Thomas Hardy again. Right. Various levels. Good writing does not eliminate, it includes. I'm not saying throw out anything, I'm not saying stop reading magazines, I'm not saying that it's all bad. I'm saying that we need some critical standards and go on from there.
Good standards. How would the ordinary man in the street know
what
was a good standard?
Doesn't matter. Why are you selling it? It's not something separating from the world. That's what again I have against us, the Porter's crew. They have separated from the world. They have taken up, and their critical stance has nothing to do with the ability to read the story or the interest they are in. A number of books they hail as being very fine, very great things are unreadable by almost any standards, except they are very narrow, and they're still narrowing the standards. I want to open up the standards. I just want to say, let's have people criticizing, let's have people writing harder, let's have people editing harder, let's have a general raising of standard and interest in the fact, and a replacing of the fact, that we have outgrown the pulse. Now, if people want to become Burroughs bibliophiles, they're buttoned to it. At the age of 12, I was a Burroughs bibliophile. And Burroughs is great for people who are 12 years old, or people who are 7 years old, 12 year old minds. I'm not against it at all, I haven't changed my mind.
You say that science fiction writers are more in touch with the world than other writers, but I remember hearing at West School, hearing one science fiction writer predict an overwhelming victory for Tony Blair in the presidential election. I think this shows a certain lack of touch with and with the way things
are going. Yes, well, I know you might have think that we have feet of gold, but we have feet of lead as well. But in addition to their critical ability or writing ability, writers are human beings and various things. I'm not saying science fiction writers are ahead of the world. In fact, I think they lag behind and tell you too much. I'm saying that they are limiting themselves by not facing the fact that they have no barriers. Most of the barriers that science fiction writers have are self-imposed. It's why I don't get irritated, why I think Jim Ballard has opened new doors to new ways of writing, new approaches to science fiction. A lot of his recent stuff, I don't like it all. That's my personal opinion. But some of his early stuff, he opened doors. The same way Heller did with Catch-22. He showed a way of approaching horror, a very American way. And that's something that's so terrible. If you do a Norman Mailer style, you're saying blood and death and the bullets after a while. On paper, the words blood and death and bullets is nonsense. But Heller used black humor, as in Dr. Strangelove, to get across his message while you're laughing. It brings an immense pain in your heart that you get across this terrible, terrible negativity. He opened doors. And all I'm saying in this sense is that we should look at the people who are working outside science fiction. We shouldn't just read inside the field. We should look outside, see what other people are doing, look inside. And we can criticize by all means. I love Old Vector. Great magazine. And if they want to down ballot, fine. I at times am myself. But they shouldn't automatically say the only standards we have are the golden age of astounding. I think if you pass this to John Campbell there, he'll say, yes, he thinks the golden age of astounding was a very golden age. And you say,
Are the new stories coming in? Yes, those facts, 1942. He'll think about things that should be being done now, or are being done. But he won't adhere to those standards. Why should you do it? He printed the magazine. Ask him.
Mr. Harrison, don't you think James Bond is a part of science fiction?
No, I haven't. Without a fact discovered, truth you don't realize, James Bond is George O. Smith. He has people that are written by Isaac Asimov. In the middle.
You recently criticized the literary crowd for ignoring the relationship between the common reader and the writer. But the reader of Edgar Rice Burroughs obviously received something that the reader of a literary polished prose does not receive. Now, granted the writing is bad, the story is bad. Even in science fiction, we find people saying, well, this must be good science fiction because the writing is so beautiful. And they ignore the fact that there's no story there at all.
There are all levels of writing, all levels of reading. When I first read, I said, The Princess of Mars, I'm 10 years old. I was carried away. I think it's probably pulled me more into science fiction than any other story I've read. I mean, a real, you know, L&F at that time. When I was Jimmy Terese and Sam Moskowitz and Fallen Societies. But it's printed as science fiction. Let's leave it there. Let's keep reprinting it. Look at Mr. Wolheim back there somewhere. Growing rich printing Burroughs. He has gold-plated cufflinks with pictures of Tarzan on it. I'm not against it at all. In fact, I'm for it. One of the nice things about science fiction conventions to me are the alert and lively 12 and 13 and 15 year olds who rush out and ask me questions I can't possibly answer. You know. They go on to be, not writers, thank goodness, but engineers and physicists and sort of unimportant like fiction. But, yes. One more, one to the breach. Judy?
Mr. Harrison, don't you think James Bond is a form of fantasy?
I have an authority. If James Bond works in dragons, we do the world. Any more questions?
Yes, is there anybody trying to stop me?
Anybody who?
No. Trying.
Trying? No.
Oh, never, George.
I have a few aces. I'll do the going in 5 minutes. I think I came on early. Now, I'm going to ask Mr. Alice a question. You finished meat pie yet? One more, right.
You say you want to raise the literary sentiment at times. Wouldn't the one way with like people being to try to encourage more interest among SS people in what you might call the outsiders to write SS from time to time with the good
absolutely. Yeah. And Margaret. Are you last year? Yes, absolutely. Look, they come in and we say, well, they come. They make all these horrible mistakes. Well, they do these plots we've used a thousand times. Well, maybe they have. But if they hang the wall, let's find it. Yes, let's be a little more broad-minded. Isn't that fine to say it to you? Here we are. We have a galaxy in the universe, and I think we'd be broad-minded. We came out of a very narrow corner, but we're out of the corner now. It is limitless. We keep saying it, but we don't act that way. Let's write it. Let's you read it. Let's you not beat down the poor old Mike Woodcock because he prints stuff you can't understand. So he can't understand himself. But at least he's trying. Pardon?
Can I
say one more
question?
Yes, I'll go all night. But, how much science fiction is deliberately aimed at women?
Emotionally.
Yeah. Ah, oh, that's a good question. No, that is a good question.
How much of whose science?
No. Science fiction, to a large extent, is almost empty of emotional content. There is.
Here we are. Not that I've been told. I've been, yes. In the middle of the college, yes. But now the fiction that are written by men. Well, not men in particular.
suppose for that.
Ever happened, and I don't know any other writer who has ever deliberately aimed translation at women. I know of
writers
who have aimed at
people.
It has very little to do with how much emotional content is in the story.
It's the correct answer. You really don't aim a story at women unless you work for Confession magazine, which I did once. And this is not science fiction. Science fiction is Confession. No, no. I don't think they were. I think they were written to carry a message or to get something across, a strong feeling.
Which got it
for
me.
Well, yes, but these stories were written years ago. They're not new ones.
They don't have to
be. What are they?
You want to name them all? Or?
Well, it's two for the Golden Age.
Right.
Which I've been very nice. And there was another one which I thought, I think, was not Visit to a Strange Planet.
Non-mechanical, non-science. country in the world, well, how can a country, and even the very next size, exist unless it has a fair amount of scientific equipment and the necessary know-how to run it? How do you run a country of any size on that small farm?
I can't agree. I agree completely. Floppy writing, floppy setting, floppy painting has ruined more stories than has made good ones. In fact, there's a Ken Slater has a bookstore over here, he took a lot of books, and he had a little magazine in there called Hip Horizons Number 2. In there is an article you'll enjoy, very humorous article, very witty, full of laughs, very interesting, about the same point, taking apart a very bad book showing how inaccurate it was. Great stuff, very funny. I wrote it. Any more questions?
What was the book?
Wallace Echo, Wallace? Address and Story. I thought we'll get it very quickly, you know. Address and Story. And a fair book, very nice and spot, but completely suspended. The living book of suspension belief because it just missed on contemporary scientific knowledge, on great knowledge. Something that anyone can get by holding any textbook. Bad floppy letter. Yes. Any more questions, folks? If you want to talk, come in out. Any questions? One more from James Rose, who is back.
Harry, would you? Would you care to comment on the what I would consider the biggest barrier to good writing in essay? The fact that the authors have to read.
Well, just by coincidence, in the same article I just mentioned in the same magazine, I covered that same point. And I like to think that I haven't seen it a lot. I think there's another pair that I always do. I thought about it. I have painted another one. Pull that back. The artist is a complete artist, or he's not an artist. If he gives you the excuse that he's fat enough, fat for a buck, he's not an artist, he's a fat plus cat. That's all, it's very simple. Captain Slater, sir.
Go back where you came in on the question of writing, standard of, and story, content. I find these days I sell quite a lot of what are really juvenile books. The books by Nicholas Stewart Wright. Very good. Because the standard of writing is good, and the story content is good. Unfortunately, too many of the science fiction authors today go out looking for a high standard of writing. And I think they lose the story en route.
I don't think many characters in writing ever think about the story writing at all. That's what happens when the main thing I'm talking about. There are so many other things to think about that it has been lost. And up until very recently, it didn't make any difference at all. And it wasn't making a difference why it bothered. They were worried about other things. But it's something that should be considered. That's something I hope to be considered. It's something that somebody is not considering. Any more questions or should you go out and cool off the bar? Are you about as hot as I am, or is it just be like that here? Yeah. Oh, we try to stop now here. I have to do it. Mother's son, Fern, no.
White Heather.
White Heather from Scotland.
Would you not think, Harry, that the standard of writing in science fiction tends to be lower for this reason, that there's more encouragement given to fledgling writers in proportion to, shall we say, writers in any other field than therefore the standard is bound to be a bit lower?
Right.
What would you say about that?
That is true. Absolutely true. And the fault is there to write in the field. The editors can't get enough good stories. And in desperation, I've given the same thing they know they would not want to print. Mr. Campbell.
Odyssey was great writing. In the first place, it wasn't written, it was told. In the second place, it was written down centuries after its original composition. In the third place, there may be somebody here who is able to read the original Greek, but I can't.
There is somebody here.
Practically none of us can. Yet Homer's Odyssey, which was written by the earliest run barbarian. Four early Bronze Age barbarians. About a barbarian chieftain who lived in a mud floored hut with an olive tree growing up to his bedroom. Is now on sale in a pocketbook edition in the Jet Airport newsstand. And I know some of the reporters while waiting for one of the shoes down at Cape Kennedy pick up a copy of the Odyssey and read it to them. You can say that they are reading Homer's great writing. You can say that they are appreciating Homer's storytelling.
I can't let that statement go unchallenged. As far as I'm concerned, I like a good story, but I prefer one that doesn't insult my intelligence. I'm not saying that Homer's story insults my intelligence by any means. Probably beyond my intelligence. As a person who reads a great deal of science fiction that never gets published, I can say that you will never, ever have a satisfactory experience from reading something that is simply an idea that does not evoke any emotion in you when you read it. In order to get this, you need fine writing. Now, when we're talking about fine writing, to many, many people, they immediately think of the top 5% who write anonymously for the Times Literary Supplement. This is not so. All we are asking is for people to write in good, basic, grammatical English without using adverbs and cigars, about which you can read more in Science Fiction Horizon, in order to pad out their stories. This is what is meant by fine writing, good grammatical writing. You've got to have both. And science fiction, to my mind, unfortunately, does not.
What was that again?
Science Fiction Horizon.
Before you forget, look back there, Homer.
Would you say that it's possibly true that the most satisfactory, or possibly the best science fiction being written, say 1984, On the Beach, Dr. Strange from, possibly even Visitor to a Small Planet, mentioning four which have come up tonight. The most successful science fiction is written by people outside the science fiction field as a one-shot venture into it. In all of these cases, none of these people have really been science fiction writers.
This is an examining point of what I'm talking about. These people who wrote that are writers, very good writers, popular writers. They each one found a theme that was science fictional that they could do easily, that came within their range of their power. And they produced a good book within that. I say, I'm not including them out or including us in. Let's look at them and follow them. They have something to show us. Julie.
What John was talking about is storytelling, which can get into a writing class
which is irrelevant. It has been written in good modern English prose by translators of what was later put down on the basis of what Homer originally told. If it were not written in good modern English prose, it would not be read by the engineers who are waiting for it, because they would get tired of reading it. It takes both things to make a good story for the general public to read. It does not take both things, I think, to make a good story for me to want to read. If you give me the kind of thing that John has published, calling it a NOPA story, I will read it if it is written in basic English, and I will love it, and I will get the emotional excitement out of it. I think most of us here will.
Is that a question? One last Ben Stark. Let him talk it over.
I would like to add a slight bit to that. The one thing that science fiction has that most other literature does not have, and that is ideas that make you think. Right? Most people don't want to think, so they do not read science fiction. And I don't think that you're going to get the general public to read no matter what you read.
Well, yes, I agree. Science fiction contains ideas people don't like to think, but the general public is reading science fiction. That's what it comes to. We've arrived. We're making money out of it. Perhaps we're making more. Pardon?
Why
are we
science
fiction? What kind of money? Yes, so hard as bad science fiction. But
the public is
desperate.
I'm
reading out the old crap year after year. From the same line,
everyone
used up.
Why don't they take it? So everyone now is not writing good fiction because they're left with 50 years old.
Let me tell you a frightening fact, Mr. Tubbs. There's a new organization called the Science Fiction Writers of America, which I hope you remember, I'll pay you $3. I received a copy of the membership list, and just for kicks, I went down and I checked off next to every writer who has produced a book come out of sale within the last year. Not a reprint, not a collection, not an anthology. A new original science fiction novel in the last year. You know how many names I checked off?
Oh, yeah. No,
no. 11.
Damn.
There's your answer.
Big deal.
Big deal. 11 new books in 1 year. The publishers want books. The publishers make money off books.
Or so the first of the book, but they'll discover that no magazine will touch it. Well, what we're really saying, honey, I agree with what you say from Senator Murphy in search of money, but do the publishers always like stuff that's been tested, tried, and proved by somebody else before they make it?
Certainly. And if they could go on that diet, they would. But they can't. Where they're constantly looking for more food for their friends.
Well, 11 new books every year with a multitude of stories written by novels, sent to yourself, it can't be, but it's true. And it doesn't seem to be a very great proportion of people looking for new ideas.
It should be more, I think, sure. There is one thing for which I believe I can claim to be the world's greatest expert. I think I can state without any challenge that I have read more lousy science fiction than I've been at it for 30 years. I get nearly all the manuscripts that go floating around the market because as of now and for a number of years have passed, we have been offering the highest rates of sale. I can assure you that going through that stack of what is known as the slush pile is a terrifically tough job. You've got to reason it. You've got to read pretty well through it to determine whether this guy is a hopeful.
You read a little bit.
I read every manuscript that comes in myself. You can't train a first reader in this meeting. I read them, and believe me, they are horrible. Now, it isn't that they don't want to find them. It isn't that they aren't willing to find them. It is, in every respect, that writing good science fiction is one of the toughest jobs in the entire field of writing. You not only need a technical integration with the world, but you also need to be able to express yourself in English, on top of which it is helpful if you can use the English language grammatically. It is not necessary to use the language grammatically in order to express yourself clearly and understandably. Many a story has been told in dialect. It is not good grammatical English. Nevertheless, it can be completely clear. Grammar is a help. It is not a necessity. The storytelling heart is the absolute necessity for a writer. If he has that particular gift, if he's got it, he's in. Isaac Asimov is a perfect example. His first stories were no good. But after you read quite a bit of the slush pile and gotten so you can feel what is real hopeless and when there's a spark, even in his first stories, which were not good, he had the gift of storytelling. He needed practice, he needed polishing and little suggestion as to which way to go. But he had the gift. Given that, then you can develop into a writer. If you haven't got it, don't waste your time. So far as I can make out, it cannot be learned, and it certainly cannot be taught. On the other hand, grammar is something that can be taught. Joseph Conrad, that was his name, I can't pronounce his real name. He wrote in English, it was not his native language. Because he figured there would be a larger market for stories told in that language. The essence of it was that the man was a storyteller. It didn't make any difference what language he told it in. I mentioned Homer's Odyssey. How many languages has that been told in? It isn't a matter of grammar. It isn't a matter of language. It's a matter of the storyteller's heart. Now, in science fiction, we differ from most in requiring not only the storyteller's art, but in addition, a technical understanding of the world as it is and as it is probably going. That's a much tougher requirement than is old detective fiction or the general novel. The result is, you know, perfection is a wonderful idea, but nobody's ever achieved it. Presumably nobody ever will. An engineer does not seek to produce a perfect machine. He seeks to produce the optimum machine. He could make a better one,
but it would increase the cost to such an extent that it would be uneconomic and nobody could afford to use it. He makes the best for the circumstance, the best for the job at hand. In selecting stories for the magazine, I have to try for the opposite. Look, I've got the stories with ideas. It's a crying shame that the guy can't write. Because it's a wonderful idea. There's one of them that, and came in years ago, the guy couldn't write. He had one of the most lovely ideas that ever came down the pipe. Too bad. You've never seen it. I don't think you ever will. There are lots of these things that happen. And as you said, you can get an emotional bang out of a perfectly gorgeous idea. Even when it is poorly told and badly written. The problem in science fiction is to get the best I can get in the three factors of storytelling, idea, and writing. And believe me, everybody in the field of science fiction, whether magazine, hardcover, or paperback, is looking constantly, just praying that somebody comes along to give him a new one. That's why we're still at it. Incidentally, Tom Perkins. I found out later, 20-year-old copy boy out of Florida newspaper. Shortly after I bought his novel, they proposed him to Sunday teacher it.
Can we end up having a little success? Go to the bar or any final learning question that happened to you.
Last year.
How many have been published?
That's your answer.
What? That's your answer.